We'll see where we get tonight. Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 3. We may only do two or three verses tonight, and then we'll, of course, take up next week in working through chapter 3. We've made our way up to verse 17 in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and why don't we just pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight, and I thank you, Father, for, again, the work you're doing down at Carm, the work that you're doing at Amachi, Lord, for Bruce and Gloria and so many other names that we don't know that are down there serving in these ministries. And Lord, all the different ministries here in Knoxville. Lord, the ministries on the outskirts of Knoxville and the ministries around the world. You told us as your church, we are to reach Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the outermost reaches of the world. And Lord, you've shown us ways that we can reach our Jerusalem, our Knoxville. You've shown us ways that we can reach our Judea and Samaria, and you've shown us ways that we can reach the outermost reaches of the world. And Lord, I just thank you for how your church operates and how your church works, and that we do get the privilege to be a part of it. And Lord, I pray that tonight as we get in your word, I ask you to just open your word to us. I know that you have something you want to say to us very specific. I know that you ordained for Bruce and Gloria to be here. As Gloria brought up, there is no such thing as chance. When it comes to the believer's life, every day and every moment is ordained by you. And so, Lord, you've also ordained what you want to speak to us from your word tonight. So I pray that as we get into your word, you would open your word, Lord, you would speak to us and you would instruct your people. Lord, feed your sheep the spiritual food that we need to be strong. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, if you remember, we left off with seeing Israel being reunited again. Well, it's kind of jumping in the middle of a chapter, kind of an interesting place to jump into. But when we got into chapter 3, if you remember, David had been brought back to Hebron to be the king of the Judah, the lower southern kingdom, if you will. And during that time, he spent 7.5 years down in Hebron waiting on God to move. And at the end of that 7.5 years, there were problems in the upper kingdom, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And remember, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was ruling over the northern kingdom. David was waiting on God's timing. And you know, there's a timing. God's timing is perfect in our lives for everything. That's why I said, even tonight having these guys, it's God's perfect timing. There's no doubt someone in here tonight, probably several of us, God is touching our heart in whatever way, pertaining to these ministries that were shared or some other ministry, whatever God's saying. God's timing is perfect. And this is something that David had to learn, God's perfect timing. And I'll tell you, as we said last week, I'm impressed with David because the thing that David did that he seemed to do so well, and I guess we don't hear everything of David, but we have the Psalms and we have David's life in 1 Samuel, the end there in 2 Samuel, is how patient David was. And we talked about in our society how easy it is to be impatient. We just got a new computer, had one that was like 6 or 7 years old and got a new one and decided to switch to a different kind that just, you turn it on. I'm used to having to wait like forever for one to come on. This one comes on almost instantly. The girls were using it today and it was like, actually they weren't able to use that one because it was gone, but they were using a different one, the old one. And it was like just the normal amount of time that it took to come on. And she was like, wow, has it always taken this long for this thing to come on? And you think a couple of minutes to reach the world and have the stuff we have at our hands in a computer is not long to wait, is it? But when you hit a button and it comes on instantaneously, 2 minutes is forever. That's our society. We want everything now. We want it instant. And we talked about that last week. We have to learn to wait. David was good at waiting. He had to wait all these years before God put him. He told him he was going to be the king of Israel. He made him wait. He had to wait more years running from Saul. Then he had to wait 7.5 more years once he got to Hebron. And finally, at the end of this 7.5 years, God's timing kicked in and God said, David, it's time. And how is David going to know it's time? By the circumstances. And guys, as we get into these two or three verses that we're going to cover tonight, it's the circumstances that began to change in David's life that showed him God was now opening the doors. And sometimes people say, you know, Pastor Mark, how do I know when it's time to move? You know, we feel in our heart God wants us to do something, and we always need to be reaching out in the instance we talked about at the first part of the service. But there may be something specifically God has put in your heart or called you to do, and it's just not right. One of the ways that God shows you that it's right is the circumstances begin to fall into place. And David waited on God. God opened the doors. The circumstances began to happen. And what were those circumstances? Well, if you remember, Abner, who was the commander of Ishbosheth's army in the northern kingdom, Abner was up there, and Abner was accused by Ishbosheth of trying to get one of Saul's concubines, we'd say one of Saul's wives, which was a move to take over the kingdom. Back in that day, back in that culture, if you went to take someone's wife or concubine from a king that had fallen or been defeated in battle, it was like saying, hey, I'm the king now. I get the spoils. I'll take his wives, if you will. It was a cultural statement about who was going to be the next king. Well, whether or not he did it, we don't know. But Ishbosheth accused Abner of doing it. It made Abner mad enough where Abner said, that's it. You're going to accuse me of something? Am I a dead dog's head, he said, that's standing with your enemy, Judah? I've served you. I've been faithful to you. And now you're going to accuse me of this? I'm going to give the kingdom over to David. And remember, really, Ishbosheth was a puppet king. Abner was the one really running the show. So when Abner said, I'm giving it to David, he had the authority and the power to do it. Because all the people look to Abner as their true leader. This is what is happening when we come in this particular passage tonight. And again, God is going to use this in David's life to say, David, now it's time. I promised you would be king. I told you you'd be ruling over all the kingdom. Now I'm going to open the doors to make that happen. And some of you tonight, you're wondering about, God, when is it going to be my time to do whatever it is God has called you to do? And there's many different ways God will speak through his word, through your time in prayer, mostly, again, through his word and your time in prayer, but also in your circumstances. But we need to understand there's a time in our life for everything. You know, Ecclesiastes 3, I think we all know the whole passage there where a time to live, a time to die, all that. But it also says in verses 9 through 11, what profit has the worker from that which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Hey, sometimes it's hard to wait on that time, but when God does it, it just happens, doesn't it? You ever been there? You're waiting. God, when's it going to happen? You're trying so hard, and suddenly God begins to bring the whole thing together, and he makes it beautiful in his time. Now, again, there's another tragic side to this story. Not only is God going to bring David into the place he needs to be, but there's also going to be this whole situation with Joab and his area, but we're not going to get that far tonight, so we're going to stick with David. But notice here now, we have the setting. Abner's going to turn the kingdom over to David, and we start here in verse 17. Notice now, Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, in times past, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of their enemies. Now, this is an amazing verse, because in this verse, what Abner is admitting is, I've been in rebellion the last 7.5 years. Why is he admitting that? Because remember, Abner was the one who was rebelling against David, ruling over the kingdom. Abner wanted power. Abner wanted control, and he was able to use Ishbosheth, the former king of the entire kingdom, if you will, Saul's son, as kind of that puppet king, somebody he could run and he could rule. And all of a sudden, now after 7.5 years, when things don't go his way, he said, well, you know what? I'm going to turn it over to David. And again, probably a very smart political move, because Abner realized David was going to take over. David was gaining in power. And if Abner didn't ally with him, he probably would end up dead, very possibly, which sadly we're going to see by next week. He does end up dead anyway. But he admits basically his rebellion here by saying this, but he admits the nation's rebellion. Because what does he say to them? Hey, you guys know that God promised it to David. Let's go ahead and do it. It's almost like, what are you waiting on? Why were you waiting until the promise of God could come through? Maybe because they were challenging it. I don't know. Even though it may have been due to the wrong motives, God would have honored Abner's repentance and submission here, again, had he not been killed a little bit later. We'll see that next week, where he gets killed. But God would have honored this. Now, why do I bring that up? Because note this, guys. Here's the bottom line. When it comes to obedience to the Lord, even if we've been in rebellion, if we choose to do what's right, even if we don't feel it, and I don't know that Abner felt like repenting here. I think Abner was backed in a corner. I think Abner realized, I'm in trouble. David's going to be the king. And now I'm being accused of this stuff. I might as well turn the kingdom over to David and get in good with him. But notice what he did. He chose to do the right thing. It's an interesting scripture. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And what that means is, where we put our treasure, our heart's going to follow. It's kind of like a train with a caboose. Our treasure is the head of the train, and our heart just follows it around. Wherever our treasure leads, our heart follows it. So that's how it works. You say, you know what? I don't know that I have a heart for whether it's missions or a heart for this or a heart for that. Ask God where he wants your treasure to be, and then choose to put your treasure there. And as you put your treasure, as God is leading you to put it, your heart's going to follow that. It's amazing. God will give you a heart for that. You know, the Bible says what we've talked about it last week. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. A lot of times we think, all right, I'll delight myself in the Lord, and then whatever I want, God will give me. That's not what that means. It means delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you the desires of your heart. As you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll begin to give you the heart that he wants you to have, so the desires you have will be his desires. And so you can begin to love him and serve him and follow him. And so, again, this is, it's interesting to me, choosing to do the right thing. See, here's the application for us tonight. Listen, God is putting in some of your hearts to do something you know you're supposed to do, but you don't feel like doing it. What I'm saying is take your feelings and stomp on them. Forget your feelings. Feelings are deceptive. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah? The heart, let me change this. The heart, i.e. feelings, are deceptively evil. Who can know them? He says the heart is evil. Who can know it? So the bottom line is you can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your heart. You have to trust the word of God and what God is telling you to do. Choose to do it. Put your treasure in the places that you know God wants it to be, and your heart will follow right in line. God has given us the plan, but a lot of times we wait for our heart to be there before we take an action to move. And that's the wrong way to do it. I think that Abner here was doing the right thing. Although, again, he'd done a lot of wrong things up to this point. I think 7.5 years pretty much of open rebellion here. He admits he knew that David was supposed to be king. But now what he said is this. All right, my circumstances have changed and God's timing has changed. I'm going to choose to do what I know God wants me to do. I'm going to choose what God's word says to do. Because he said, you guys know this is what God's word says. And then watch, my heart's going to follow that. And so, again, this shows a lot about, you know, Abner. You can say what you want about a guy that rebelled that long, but the bottom line is he chose to do what was right. And I think it also shows a level of humility in Abner's life. Now, why do I say that? Guys, listen, there's not only do we have to choose to do what's right sometimes, we also have to choose to humble ourselves sometimes. You might think, well, I don't feel like being humble. Don't, again, forget your feelings. We got to throw feelings out when it comes to obedience. Obedience and feelings cannot work together when it comes to the believer's life. We have to do what's right whether we feel like it or not. That is, if you've got somebody you've done wrong and you need to get it right, I don't feel like getting it right. I don't want to go ask their forgiveness. I don't want to do the right thing. Do it anyway. Make a choice to do it and be obedient to what God's word says. And again, why? Because again, where your treasure is, your heart is. And also it's that choice that God honors. But this was a choice of humility for Abner. Why do I say that? Okay, men, you'll get this one. Women, you'll understand it. Men, you'll feel it. Remember when Abner was camping with Saul down in the camp and David was on the run? And David, Abner is the personal bodyguard to the king. He's got the highest position of guarding the king, right? What does David do? David says, hey, who wants to sneak down into the middle of the king's army with me? Let's go right down in the middle of thousands. And there were thousands of soldiers. David's a gutsy guy. And the guy that went with him was a gutsy guy. All of David's mighty men, I love them. Because these guys, you know, David was a giant killer. And what I've noticed about giant killers is they reproduce more giant killers. And so David, you know, he showed them the example of killing giants for God. And there were just all these guys gathered around him and they became giant killers. They weren't afraid of anything. There was a boldness that I loved about these guys. The Bible calls them David's mighty men. And so one of the guys goes with David. They go down into the camp while the guys are sleeping. And note this. This is what really makes the story come alive. Back then, what would happen is there was some 3,000 men with King Saul. They would sleep in a big circle and Saul would get right in the middle. The king would sleep in the middle so that if anyone dared attack, they had to get through 3,000 or let's say 1,500 or 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, whatever. They had to come through that many to get to the middle to wake the camp. Can you imagine trying to sneak through that many men without waking them up? David and this guy did it. And then once you made it to the king, guess who was sleeping right beside the king? Abner, his personal bodyguard, the ruler of the king's army. David goes in and says, you know what? The guy with David says, kill him, kill him. You can be king now, kill him. But remember, David, learning to wait on God's timing, said, no, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. God put him there. God can remove him. I'm going to wait on God and let God do it how he wants. I know the promise of God, but I'm going to let God work the way he wants to work in my life. So what does he do? He says, let's let him know we were here. Get his spear and get his jug of water. Remember, they would take the spear and you had the sharp end that you fought with, but the other end that we saw him kill Asahel with last week, remember, or a couple of weeks ago, they would sharpen the other end, the wooden end, so they could stab it in the ground. So here's the king with his spear stabbed in the ground. Here's his water jug. They go and they get his water jug and his spear and they sneak back out past these thousands of soldiers. None of them wake up. They go up to the top of the hill and all of a sudden they hear, hey, boys, wake up. And they wake up, and Abner's the one who answers. Because remember, he was the king's personal bodyguard. He goes, who dares speak to the king? It's David, little Davy, the one you've been chasing around the desert everywhere. Hey, Abner, aren't you a man? Aren't you supposed to be protecting the king? You tell me I'm nothing. You just, tonight, I walked right up to your commander through all of your men and past you, and they're sleeping. Just saw you, Abner, just snoring away. Took the king's spear and his water jug. By the way, got him right here if you'd like to see that as evidence. Up on this hill, they couldn't get to him, you know. He goes, Abner, you should be put to death. You failed your king. Abner was basically speechless. And then, of course, Saul speaks up. And remember, every time Saul was busted in his sin, he became religious. Oh, David, is that you? Oh, David, my son? You're more righteous than I. No kidding, right? So he always played the religion game when he got caught. But the bottom line is this was the same Abner. Talk about, number one, having to choose to do the right thing after 7.5 years of rebellion, and that may have been part of his motivation. Now he's got to humble himself and go to David and say, David, you know what? I'm going to come under your authority. I'm going to submit myself to you. I know I was mocked. I know that I failed. And what's amazing to me is we're going to see next week, we get more into the story, how gracious David was to him. David just forgave him and loved him, never brought it up, never made a thing. You never hear any more about it. But again, what I'm saying is look at Abner's heart here. It took Abner a while to come to a place of brokenness and repentance as well. But Abner here shows a right heart and turns himself around in this whole thing, as we'll see more when we get into the story. So he goes to communicate with the elders of Israel, it says. Abner's going to, again, first of all, cover his bases. He's going to talk to the elders of Israel, and he tells them to do it. And then notice he goes to the Benjamites as well. And Abner also spoke in the hearing there in verse 19 of Benjamin. Now, why would he go to the elders of Israel, those over the northern kingdom, and then go to Benjamin before he came to David? Because he needed to get everyone united on the same page. And again, this is what this passage is about. As I said, we'll be able to expand more on it next week, but it's just reuniting Israel. They've been a split kingdom, and now they're going to be reunited in God's timing. And so first he gets the elders of Israel together, then he gets Benjamin. Why Benjamin? Because Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And if he was going to put together his government and have everything coordinated together down there in the southern kingdom with David, then he had to have all the elders of Israel on board, all the family of Saul not fighting him, the Benjamites, and then bringing it all together to David. And so it says, Abner also spoke in the hearing of Benjamin, and then Abner went to speak in the hearing of David in Hebron, and all of this seemed good to Israel and to the whole house of Benjamin. Now again, what's the point of this whole section? And this is probably about all we're going to be able to cover tonight. But what's the whole point of this, guys? Listen, as we get into this portion of God reuniting Israel as a nation, the thing that I really think that God would emphasize tonight in our hearts is God's timing. If David had tried to pull this kingdom together before Abner was ready to submit, if David had tried to pull the kingdom together in his own strength before Israel and Benjamin agreed that he was to be the king, if David had tried to make anything happen, it would have been a total failure. But this is where I think the true sign of maturity comes in. I have to admit, I have a long way to go in this. You know, I've had things that I've had to wait on a long time that I've seen come to pass. And had someone even say to me, wow, I really admire your patience. And I had to tell them, I thank you for that, but I have to be honest with you, I had none. The only reason it didn't happen sooner is God didn't let it. So it wasn't like I was this super mature man that waited on God. It was a matter of saying, what am I going to do? You know, I just have to wait. I have no choice. But guys, this is a great lesson for us to learn, to wait on God's timing and to be patient for what God has in our life. And so in these verses tonight, we see again this whole, finally, after all these years, the kingdom coming together, God working all the circumstances together. And so what I would leave us with is God working circumstances together tonight in your life for some situation that you've been waiting on God, or maybe you see circumstances beginning to come together that look like God is opening some doors. Because we need to be sensitive to that. Be aware of the circumstances around us. And every circumstance doesn't mean that it's the Lord. It's not always the Lord. And we need to be patient. Sometimes I think we think, well, there's a circumstance that's, so that means God wants me to do something or whatever. But it's a combination of things. The Word of God, time in prayer, and then waiting on the proper circumstances for God to bring it to pass. But I believe that because of the way God arranged the service tonight, and that probably somebody right now is trying to decide, you know, whether or not there's the proper timing for something in your life that you feel called to do. So my answer to that would be is make sure you're in the Word of God. Make sure you're in prayer. Make sure you look at the circumstances that God has put in your life, because those circumstances will play a part in it. Don't let that limit faith, but that does play into it. And don't trust your feelings. Choose to do the right thing, what God has asked you to do, and where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Next week, we'll get into watching what happens when Abner goes down and speaks to David. Joab gets jealous of Abner. Remember, Joab is out to get Abner because Abner killed Asahel, which was Joab's brother. And the whole story gets complicated next week. We'll get into that. A little bit of Israel soap opera, little Days of Our Lives. We'll get into next week. Let's just pray tonight as we finish. Let's just ask for God to really use tonight to really speak to us about God's timing, to teach us to be patient for God's timing, but also when we know it's God's timing, not to be afraid to step out in faith, to learn to recognize the circumstances, to learn to recognize what God is saying in His Word and His prayer, and prayers. We spend the daily time in that. And to make sure that, you know, we are just really delighting ourselves in the Lord so that we can Let him give us the desires of our heart. God will be faithful to do that. Let's ask him to do it tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. And God, I just thank you for what you did tonight. I felt your spirit, Lord, moving through the presentations. And Lord, even just through these few verses here in 2 Samuel, there was a timing for everything. There was a timing for Bruce and Gloria to be here tonight. There was a timing for David to not take the kingdom, but have it given over to him. Because that's what you called him to do. And Lord, you taught David to wait. You taught him, Lord, to step out in faith and to do what you called him to do each day. But you also taught him, Lord, that patience in waiting on you to bring to pass the things that you had promised. Lord, teach us that. Give us that patience. Not slothfulness, not lack of diligence, but Lord, to be able to do the day's work that you've given us to do, but also to be able to wait for the circumstances and your word to speak and whatever it is, whatever situation you're calling us to do in this season of our lives. So Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts tonight. I know there are bound to be some here tonight that you're speaking to right now, and they can't believe it. Before the service, they were just thinking, hey, Lord, is it your timing? What do these circumstances mean? Why is this happening now? And you're speaking to them right now saying, here's why it's happening, because I brought you here tonight to tell you that I'm doing it. It's time. Don't be afraid. Lord, there may be others in here tonight that you're saying, you know, that they've been trying to do it in their own strength. And you're wanting them to learn to wait, to have the patience of a David, to be about the Father's business, but to try not to try to make things happen. And so I pray you would just give that proper balance tonight, Lord, in whatever situation is happening. But I do know, Lord, that your timing is perfect. And you say in your word that, Lord, you make all things beautiful in your time. Help us to trust in that and to believe in that. Especially, Lord, those that are in a dark time and maybe nothing right now seems beautiful at all. But Lord, we know that it will be. Father, again, I thank you for tonight. I pray your continued blessings on Karim, on Amachi, on all these other ministries that were mentioned tonight. Lord, the ministry that's going on in all the different churches here in Knoxville, reaching out to those in need. And again, in the surrounding area, and as we said, the outer reaches of the earth. I pray you would just help us to find what our place is in that and help us, Lord, to step forward in faith, trusting in you. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.